Turn to Leviticus 14. Leviticus 14. You know, in the New Testament, there were a number of times when the Lord, it's recorded, cleansed the leper. Every time he did this, or three recordings of it, he always told the people who were cleansed to go show themselves to the priest and offer the sacrifices prescribed in the law of Moses. And there's a reason for that, obviously. And that reason is because that sacrifice is a picture of Christ. And that's what we're going to look at today, Leviticus chapter 14. You know, leprosy in the Old Testament is a good picture of sin. It's a good picture of sin. Back at that time, it was incurable. You got it in your blood, and it was there, and it would disfigure you, and eventually it would kill you, unless God Almighty did something for you. And that, my friends, is the case with everyone here. We're born into this world, and we're the product of a defiled fountain. You're not going to get pure water out of a defiled fountain. Adam, you know, we're basically sewer water. We're totally depraved. The time we're born, as I've said before, you don't have to teach a kid how to lie. We're totally depraved. We come to this world sinners, and it disfigures us all our lives. And if God Almighty doesn't do something for us, we're going to die with it. We're going to die with it. And here in Leviticus 14, it says, verses 1 and 2, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest." Now, when a leper started seeing some improvement, if there was any sign of grace in that man's life, it appeared that something was going on. That man was to be brought to the priest. I love that, because, my friends, that's true of every one of us, all us sinners. We've got to be brought to the priest. We've got to deal with a priest, God's representative. There's a priest that stands between us. We've got to be brought to him. You know, we had in the previous chapter, verse 46, if you look at it, it says, "A leper all the days whereof his plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he's unclean. He'll to dwell alone without the camp shall be his habitation." He's got to live out there by himself. If anybody gets near him, he's got to cover his mouth and cry, "Unclean, unclean." Everything he touched in life was dirty. If he touched a garment, they had to do something with that garment. Everything, every place he put his leprous foot was dirty. And that's true of man. That's true of man. You ever read the scripture that said, "Behold, to the moon it shineth not"? The moon's not even pure in his sight. You know why? We've been there. That's right. We've been there. This whole nation, the whole nature fell with the fall of Adam. It groans and travails. It says here in verses 3 and 4, "And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive, clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop." Priest has got to go forth out of the camp. There was one who left heaven and came down here. Emmanuel, God in the flesh, came forth out of the camp to look at the sinners, to deal with the sinners, the lepers, to cleanse the lepers. This priest is a picture of Christ, and not only is he a picture of Christ, these two birds here are a picture of Christ. And you're going to see that in a minute here. Two birds, alive, clean. If you look in your, a lot of times on the side, you'll see a little description here. It says sparrows. Sparrows were the birds being talked about here. How the two birds, these, how do they prefigure the Lord? Well, they were free birds. Two birds alive. Free birds. Sparrows. They were not caged. They were common little birds. Nothing of any great value in the eyes of human beings. You know, I remember in the New Testament, the Lord said in Luke 12, 6. You remember this? He says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not a one of them is forgotten before God." 5 sparrows are 4 cents. Now that's common. That's insignificant. That's of no value. "He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." That's what Isaiah said about this one who was coming. such a common one. He would be a root out of dry ground. The Pharisees would speak of him and say, can any good thing come from Nazareth? Search the Scripture and see if a prophet arises out of Galilee. Not much to look at, but he's clean. Did you see that? He's clean. 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 Not much to look at, but he's clean. You know, the Old Testament clean animals were animals that were clean for sacrifice, and they were clean to eat because they were a picture of Christ. This one who would be our sacrifice, and this one whose flesh would be meat indeed, and whose blood would be drink indeed. It's a picture of him. These insignificant little birds, both of them are Christ. They represent his two natures. They represent him as a person. The body of Christ, the man, Christ Jesus, was clean. He was born of a virgin. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, but he had no sin upon him. He was clean. Absolutely, the only clean man that's ever walked this earth. And that other clean bird you're going to see in a minute represents his divine nature, and that was clean. His divine nature. You see here, you're going to see his humiliation, you're going to see his exaltation here. And look at verse 5. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Now, does that picture sound familiar to you? Think about that. Look over at John 19. Mark this place. John 19. The Apostle John thought an awful lot of this. Look at verse 32. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, and then of the other which was crucified with him. And when they came to Jesus, they saw he was dead already, and they brake not his legs. And one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there blood and water. Blood and water. He repeats this in 1 John 5. Look over at the epistle, 1 John 5, verses 5 and 6. John was apparently very taken by this. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. It's the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit's truth. Now, you think about that. How's the leper cleansed? Well, that little clean bird was taken, and they put an earthen vessel down here, and they had water flowing into that vessel, and they would cut that bird and squeeze his blood out into that vessel. And water and blood flowed out of an earthen vessel. My friends, that's my Lord. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And our Lord came here and suffered, bled, and died in an earthen vessel. And you see in the cleansing of the leper, blood and water flowing out of an earthen vessel. Blood to atone for the sin. Water to wash clean. You've sang that song. May the blood, the water from thy riven side which flowed, be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Make me pure here. Blood and water running. It had to be an overflowing vessel. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. It's a continuing cleansing. It's a picture of his continuing cleansing of his people. Back in our text, look at this. Verses 5 and 6. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird and the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and he shall pronounce him clean, and he shall let the living bird loose in the open field. Now, I want you to picture this. There's a stick, there's hyssop, there's a bird. What's this all about? Let me show you one place in the Old Testament, 1 Kings 4, where hyssop and cedar are mentioned together. It's the only place in the Bible. And this may sound like a 1 Kings chapter 4. I want you to get the... It's talking about Solomon. It's talking about his great wealth. It's talking about all the things he had and his intelligence. And it says in verse 33, 1 Kings 4... 4:33. Listen to this. Look at verse 32. He spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. You realize we have the Song of Solomon in the New Testament. There's 1,004 more songs that man wrote. And he spake of trees from the cedar tree that's in Lebanon, way up yonder in the mountains of Lebanon, the cedar tree, the highest thing out there. He spoke of the trees, the cedar trees in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out among the wall. He spake of beast and fowl and creeping things and fish. What this is a contrast between the greatest things in nature. This cedar that's on a mountaintop, this incorruptible wood. To this day, people make cedar closets. It's an incorruptible wood. Way up yonder, being joined together with a little hyssop that's way down here, it's the uniting of these two things. That's talking about the incorruptible Son of God coming from way up yonder to way down here. And that cedar stick and that little bird and that hyssop were joined together. That bird was alive, and the priest would put him at the end of that stick, and he would take the scarlet thread and wrap it around that bird with the hyssop, the bird's tail and its feathers. And he would take that stick and he would put it in that bloody water. And he would pull that out and he would sprinkle that leper 7 times. Clean in soul. Clean in spirit. Clean in flesh. Clean. You are clean. 7. 7 times. Perfectly clean. Perfectly clean. Oh my goodness. We just sing some songs this morning. Listen, I quote. Crown in the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. And just as soon as he had sprinkled that leper, did you read that? Look at that verse back there, verse 7. Sprinkling, that's to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times. Pronounce him clean. Pronounce him clean. And you shall let that living bird loose into the open field. Back to where he came from. That living bird. The divine Son of God, robed in flesh, died on a cross, died in an earthen vessel, blood and water. And that little bird, covered with blood and water, was let loose back into the field from whence he came. Rich wounds yet visible above in glory beautified. That's the exaltation and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, the day that happened, I was pronounced clean. I was pronounced clean. Pronouncing clean. I'm telling you, there's a man in glory, and those for whom he died have been sprinkled, and they've been pronounced clean. Now, you know, that leper that day might not have seen all that. Now, we preach these things. We look back with New Testament eyes. It's easy to see these things. But that leper probably didn't see that. You know, that day that that happened, and that priest took that little critter on the end of that stick and sprinkled him with bloody water and looked at him and said, "You are clean." The day he said that and released that bird, I'm going to tell you what that leper was thinking. That's me. That's me! Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. I'm free to go back to the temple. I'm free to come back into the town, to be with my family, to be with the people I know and love. I'm free. And I'm going to tell you something. He was right. He was right. You know why? Because that little bird represented him, and that little bird represented Christ. They're one. We have been made to, raised up, and we set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. They're one. They're one. That man was right to think that way. Pronounced clean. For whom this one died are all clean. And I'll tell you, we're just all a bunch of little birds. I was telling some folks the other day, down here in this earth, I've watched sparrows. They'll come down and hop around long enough to get something to eat, and then they're back up there where it's safe. And that's the way a believer is. He comes down on this earth and hops around a little bit to get what he needs, but he's got heavenly things to think about. He's got his mind and affection set on things above, as he's been told. He just gets right back up there in the branches as quick as he can. Looking to Christ. Looking to Christ. And what I want you to see here as I speak to you this morning is I want you to see salvation objectively, and I want you to see it subjectively. You're going to see that here as we go on down here. Look here at verses 8 and 9. And he that is to be cleansed. Now this is interesting. He that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. And it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all the hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair shall he shave off. He shall wash his clothes, he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. He was pronounced clean, yet he is the one that to be cleansed, and he shall be clean. As you read down through here, it keeps using these things. They're interchangeable. Why? Because you see, the three senses of salvation, we were saved in Christ Jesus. We were His people before the world began. He pronounced us clean at Calvary. But there's something that's going on in our lives, too. And here in this text, it talks about shaving and washing. Some of us are hairier than others. I've slowed down a little bit. You know, I grew my mustache back at the last week of July when I was at the beach. I started growing the mustache back. And about 2 weeks ago, my wife looks over at me in the car and goes, "When'd you grow your mustache back?" I said, "You are not paying attention, woman." And I know other folks that can grow a beard in 3 or 4 days. And what you have here being described is what grows out of your flesh by nature. And that's the picture. Believers are to mortify the deeds of their body. They're to wash in this world. The washing of the Word does that. They're to mortify the deeds of their body. They are to put off the old man, put on the new, as the Scripture says. We're to deal with these things. And that's the picture being here. Been pronounced clean, but we got to deal with some things here. Got to deal with some things. Shaving. Washing. And I want to tell you something. All that means nothing if you don't go on to the next step. You know, most of the world's full of people that are religious that don't go here and don't go there and don't do this and don't do that. I grew up that way. And I want you to know if that's all you have, then you haven't finished this. You haven't finished this. First 7 verses, you see salvation as a forensic matter. That's the word people like to use today. Forensic. A legal matter. Over here is a leper. What's he doing? He's just standing there and they're sprinkling things on him. Somebody's offering birds and sprinkling blood water on him, pronouncing him clean. That's forensic. He was pronounced clean. I'll fight you over that. He was pronounced clean. But look here at verses 10 through 20, and I'm going to read through them. On the eighth day he shall take 2 he lambs without a blemish, 1 ewe lamb of the first year without a blemish, and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. The priest shall take 1 of the he lambs and offer it for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. He shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering, it's most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that's to be cleansed, and on the thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in the left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that's to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of the right foot, in the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand shall he pour out on the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement before the Lord. And the priest shall offer a sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterwards he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar. And the priest shall make an atonement for him and he shall be clean. He shall be clean. Verses 1 through 7, you see an objective view of salvation. The Son of God dying for our sins, raising for our justification. And in these verses, you see the Holy Spirit's work in the life of a leper. This one who's been pronounced clean, who is to be clean, who is to be made clean, who shall be clean. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit working in our day. What's the significance of the eighth day? Well, all I know is this man shaved himself the day before, and he wasn't to have two hairs on his body. If he had two hairs on his body, he wasn't shaved. This was so the priest could look at him and make sure the leprosy was departing. But on the eighth day, he would show up there. And what's the significance of the number eight? Well, all I can tell you is it was the appointed day. It was the appointed day. And he would go to the priest and meet him at the door of the congregation, somewhere he'd never been before. And I'll tell you, this aspect is just too big to miss. And I mentioned a moment ago, you can spend your life shaving and washing, but you can't miss this. This man would walk down to the temple door on the appointed day. I was thinking about that. You know the number eight there? If nothing else, to me it speaks of the beginning of a new week. The beginning of a new week. Beginning of a new life. This guy would walk down there and he'd bring three lambs with him. And he'd present the lambs to the priest with a log of oil that's 8 ounces, half pint. And the priest would take up this first lamb and the log of oil and he would hold it and he would wave it to the north, wave it to the west, wave it to the east, wave it to the south. All four corners, so everybody was certain the glory of God was seen in what was going to happen to that lamb. And he would take that lamb and that log of oil, and he would walk over to the door of the congregation. And that leper couldn't come in. But you know what that leper did? He stood just outside the door, and he took his two hands and stuck them in and put them on the head of that lamb. You can clean up and shave till the day you die, but you've got to lay your hands on the Lamb of God. You've got to lay your hands on the Lamb of God. And they would take that lamb, that trespass offering, it's called there, a trespass offering. And they would burn him. They would burn him so totally that they would take his dung and everything outside the camp. It was an offering that was obnoxious to God. God wanted it outside the camp. And my friends, that's a picture of my sins being laid on the Son of God. What I am by nature is obnoxious. Obnoxious. He was burnt. All our sins were laid on him, the scripture says. And then he would take this next lamb. And he would take that lamb and he'd wave it to the north and the south and the east and the west. And he'd bring that lamb over there to that door. And that leper had to walk up and lay his hands on that lamb again. That was a burnt offering. We talk about a sweet-smelling savor. The brother mentioned that this morning. A sweet-smelling savor before the Lord. In the burnt offering, they would actually remove the innards of the animal completely. Wash all the innards. And put the innards and everything on the altar. And it was a sweet-smelling savor. It was a picture of the purity of Christ inside and out. You see, it's not just enough for him to deal with my sins. I've got to be acceptable to Him. I've got to be acceptable to Him. I've got to smell of His Son. That's why there was that sacrifice. It's not just sin, but acceptance. And I lay my hands on Him for acceptance. He's my only acceptance before God Almighty. Without Him, I still stink. Now, I'm just telling you, I still stink without the Lamb of God. You know, if you don't lay hands on Christ for your acceptance, you can end up a legalist. You can end up spending your life trying to find some way to be acceptable before God. I'm just telling you, lay hands on Him for your sin. Lay hands on Him for your acceptance. And the third offering there, again, it was waved before the Lord. It was an offering, a meat offering, peace offering. It's called an Exodus. Priest got a part. The leper got a part. And part was burnt on the altar. It speaks of communion. Everybody involved partook of that lamb. Communion with God. Peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Communion. The Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And I'm telling you, I lay my hands on Him. This is His beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased with Him. And then that priest would take that blood. And he'd call that leper over. And that leper would come to the door, stick his head inside the door. And that priest would put blood on his ear. He'd stick his hand in there, and that priest would put blood on his thumb. Then he'd stick his foot in there, and that priest would put blood on that toe. You can shave till the cows come home, but you'll never do a good thing until God Almighty's put blood on your ear, toe, and thumb. These ears will never hear right until they've been sanctified and set apart by the blood of the Son of God. These hands will never do right. There's none good, no, not one. No hands have ever done a good deed in this earth but through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're never going to walk right. Your course and conversation in this life will never be right till you stuck your foot inside that tabernacle, had that blood put on your toe. Oil. Oil in the Scripture is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. There is one who's received the Spirit without measure, the Bible says. We know who He is. The Lord Jesus Christ received the Spirit without measure. There's no comprehending His possession of the Holy Spirit. He received the oil of gladness above His fellows, the psalmist wrote. But I'll tell you, every one of these lepers received it too. They come to that door with 8 ounces. And that priest takes it and pours it in his hand. I'm telling you, the best man you ever met is a spiritual half pint. Okay? That's what he is. 8 ounces of oil. And that priest would take his finger, fling it towards the tabernacle. Praise to God for what's happened to this leper. Then he would take that oil and that leper would come back over there and stick his head in. And he'd put that oil on that ear. That oil on that thumb and that oil on that toe. You know why? Because the Spirit of God answers to the blood. His Spirit answers to the blood and tells me I am born of God. And it's particular. The Holy Spirit's not out there trying to convert this world. I'm telling you, if He was, the world would be converted. The Holy Spirit is going where the blood's going. Blood on the ear, blood on the thumb, blood on the foot, oil on the ear, the thumb, the foot. I'm telling you everything. The Spirit of God is involved in every aspect of our salvation. We stand, we walk, we run. Whatever our paths are in this life, the Spirit of God's there. We have been blood bought and Spirit led. That's what this is a picture of here. The blood is the foundation of all the Lord accomplishes in time in the lives of His believers, His saints. And this application of grace always follows redemption by the blood. If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You see that? And then at the end of this thing, now this is what I want you to see. You see objective salvation with the two birds. And here at the end of this thing, you see the priest taking whatever's left in his hand and pouring it over the head of that leper. A sanctified head. Look at Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. Verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies. Come on down to the door of the congregation. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is the pouring of the oil on our head. Ephesians. Look at Ephesians 4. The pouring of the oil on our heads. He's talking about in verse 18, having the understanding darkened, that's what we were by nature, being alienated from the life of God. There was a time when the life of God was alien to us. That's no longer true. Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you've heard of Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. You put off concerning your former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You shave. You have the priest pour the oil over your head. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There is a life of God in a believer. It's something God has created in him. It's not something he had when he came here originally. It's God created in him in righteousness and in holiness. Putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor. You see that? It's a picture of the Spirit's work being poured on our heads. These ones who have been set apart by God, these lepers who've been cleansed. And look over real quick at Exodus 29. I want to show you something. Then I'll quit. Now this is when Aaron and his sons were made priests. Look at verse 19. You shall take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. Then you shall kill the ram and take his blood, put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron, the tip of the right ear of his sons, and on the thumb of the right ear, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood round about the altar, round about. Why is it that the priest and these lepers had such a similar ceremony? You know why? We've been made kings and priests unto God. That's why. That's why. The cleansing of the leper. That's the way it was. That's the law of the leper. That's the way it was then. And I'm telling you, that's the way it's always going to be. Every leper that God Almighty ever cleanses, going to come down and lay his hands on the Son of God. Pronounced clean? Yes, sir. Going to be cleansed? Yes, sir. Going to lay his hands on the Lamb of God? Yes, sir. God Almighty is going to see it done, my friends, in the lives of every one of his people. And he's going to make them new creatures. He's going to anoint their hands and their feet and their ears with blood and oil, and their whole lives are going to change by his grace. Thank you.